Okay, we're picking up three lines from the top of Ein Gimel Amud Aleph, words of Bari Rami Bar Chama. I just wanted to actually, before we get to Bari Rami Chama, just mention outside, we had the previous question about whether a person doesn't hear about it, can you still be made for such a neder? And the Gemara wanted to bring a raya that maybe we're talking about the case of a appointing a shaliach for the, is that if a person has the ability to appoint a shaliach or not. And the Gemara rejected it by saying, "L'chishama lefer lahu," that the person he's doing it was, so why don't we let the husband do it? So the Gemara answered, "Sarva duma matridina." He's afraid that he's going to be preoccupied at the time when he makes the nether, and therefore he's not going to remember to be made for the nether when he hears about them. So the Ran quoted, I didn't have a chance to finish this off, the Ran quoted the Gemara Nazir, they ask a follow-up question. The Gemara asks, even if that's the case, why is it necessary for the husband to appoint the shaliach? Since that we clearly hold like the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer have the opinion that you can be made for a neder before it's even made. So then the husband himself could just say to his wife before he leaves, any nedarim that you're going to make, I'm going to be made for them when I hear about them, when I come back to the house. So the Gemara answered over there, the Gemara gave a teretz in Nazir, the Gemara says that the guy is afraid that he's going to be very, whatever it is, be preoccupied when he is about to leave, and he's forgetting to make this statement. That's why he has the shaliach. So the Ran just follows up the question, but he says, why do you have to make a shaliach? Why doesn't he just do it right now himself? Even if we assume that he doesn't want to have a blanket hafara now because he might approve of the neder, still he should at least he can still make the option, and when he hears about it, he wants to get rid of it. So the Ran answers that maybe if the husband does make this, you don't have the option of changing your mind, because that's already, the moment he hears about it, it's going to be retroactively removed. However, if you appoint the shaliach at any point, if he wants to be mevatel the shlichus, he would be able to do so, and therefore he'd be able to at least change his mind. That's what the Ran points out in the previous sugya. Okay, now we're back to our sugya of Bai Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama asks a question. Chirish mao sheyefer liishto. So normally we always have in the Mishnayos Chirish Shota Vikata, that the three are listed together because those are three people that don't have das. A Chirish we'll mention in a moment. A Shota is someone who's mentally deranged. And a katan, somebody who is below the age of bar mitzvah. Those are three people that don't have das. Now generally, a Chirish is a deaf mute. A deaf mute had no way of communicating, we had no way of understanding what he was talking about, so we generally put him in the category of somebody who doesn't have das. That's all Shaila Bisman Zed, and nowadays there's so much improvement, and you know, Helen Keller and all these things that you have a deaf person is able to communicate, so that's a Shaila. They're not really mute, they have a way of communicating, so maybe they wouldn't necessarily be in the category of a Chirish that doesn't have das. That's a Shaila Bisman Zed. I don't want to get to that. But us, almost all the time when the Gemara mentions a Chirish, almost all the time in Shas, it's referring to this person we just mentioned, a deaf mute, because he has no way of communicating. Here, we're actually Dafka only mentioning, the Ran points this out, that we're Dafka generally, we're actually specifically talking about someone who's just deaf. He's not mute. He definitely does have Das. So the Shaila was, if he doesn't have Das, then it wouldn't be Shaila. Here, we're talking about he has Das. So then, Chirish Mao Sheyefer Le'ishto, can a deaf person, only a deaf person, not mute, he's just deaf, can he be made for the Nedarim of his wife? So the Gemara says, what's the Tzadim of the Safik? Im Timtza Lomar Baal Mefer below Shmia. The first thought is that if you're going to understand that the husband, the previous Shiloh that we had, we didn't have it, we left it unanswered, but maybe we can assume that the husband is able to revoke his wife's Nadarim without even hearing them. Mishum, Davar, Mishamehu, because that is something, he himself is someone, Be'etzem, is fit. He's fit to be able to hear it. He's Ro'oi, he's Ro'oi Lakach. Aval, Cheresh, Delabar, Mishmehu. Maybe I would have the second side, is that the Cheresh is not going to be ever able to hear it. So since he's never fit, he's never ra'oi to be able to hear it, maybe in that concept we're assuming that such a neder would be unable to do hafara on it, to remove such a neder. And the Gemara points out, Hainu to Rabbi Zera, this lechora is the idea of, the famous idea of Rabbi Zera, comes up in a few places in Shas. The Amar Rabbi Zera tells us in regards to a mincha, there is, the Torah tells us that you have to prepare the lavona, to mix in the oil. Some of them are going to be kosher b'di'evet. Like bila, mixing the flour and the oil together is something which is kosher b'di'evet. So Rabbi Zera teaches us that in the context of Rabbi Zera, kol haroi lebila ein bila ma keves bo. That in any mincha that is fit for mixing, if you're able to mix the flour and the oil, then the mixing would not be ma'akiv. If you forgot to do it, it's still kosher. However, in a case where a mincha was never fit for mixing. What is that? That's going to be a case where you have 61. The Chazal explained that a mincha cannot exceed 60 isronos. If it has more than that, it's not able to be mixed well. So the shaila is, if a person has a thing of 61 isronos, what happens? Is it kosher or not? So, l'chora the raya, you should say, it's possible it should be kosher. We know if a person had a 20 isaron mincha, and he forgot to do the bila, forgot to do the mixing, it's kosher. So there should be no difference in 61. So comes Rabbi Zeira and tells us a chiddush. He tells us that no, there's a concept that it has to at least be ro'oi. There's a concept that the thing itself needs to, oh, I love this bind up. There has to be, the thing itself needs to be fit to do it, and then if you didn't do it, b'di'evid will assume that after the fact, that's still kosher. However, if you put yourself in a situation which it was never fit for, which is the case of bila, then over there, the halacha is that it's not kosher, even b'di'evid. That's what Rabbi Zeira teaches us. So now, how does that explain our Gemara? Because in our case, with regards to the husband, right, v'shama isha, the husband hears about it. So you want to say, fine, the pasuk is lav dafka. It's not really that the husband full-fledged needs to hear. Even if he could have heard about it, but he didn't, he can still be made for the neder. So says the Gemara, though, the tzad of Rabbi Zeira would tell us that that's only somebody who at least theoretically could have heard about it. He has to be roi to be hearing about it. At the very least, the pasuk we're telling you that he has to be roi to hear about it. The moment that he's not roi to hear about, i.e., he is a chirish, that's our case. So then, according to Rabbi Zeira, what comes out, that it would be that you are not able to be made for such a neder, and therefore, he would be of the opinion that you are not able to be made for the neder. That's the first side. However, there's like Mara says a second side. Dilma, vishama isha lo me'akev. Maybe the whole concept of the husband hearing about it is not bedafka. The Torah is not telling us that that is me'akev. Maybe that's a din lechachila. But all across the board, if a person's not able to, or like either he's not able to because he forgot to, or he just didn't want, he wasn't around and he wanted to be made for it anyway, a guy who's not deaf, so that would be the first case, or even go even further, that even if he's not able to hear about it, so that din, in such a case, the Torah would tell you it's okay, it would be okay to still be made for it. Neder, that's the second side of the suffix. So it says the Gemara answering this question, Amar Rava tells us, Tashma, we could bring a proof from the Braisa. What does the Braisa tell us? Vishama Isha. And her husband heard about the neder. Prat le'ishes chiresh. This is excluding the wife of a deaf person. So shma mina, we learn from this that in fact, a deaf person is not able to remove the nedarim of his wife. So the Ran points out, though, that this still would not be a raya, though, that a husband who is able to hear and didn't and wants to be made for the neder, what about that case? That's still unanswered, because maybe you could say that this brisa goes like Rabbi Zeira, and this is a problem of bila, and it's not roi la bila, so therefore it's not going to be roi to be able to have it. If it's something which is roi, then maybe he doesn't, it's not ma'akev, and he would hold like Rabbi Zeira, so therefore the Ran points out, we don't have that answer, is not answered. But the very least, the answer about someone who can hear about a cheresh, Rabbi Rami Bar Chama's question, that is answered, but that he would not be able to be made for the nedarim of his wife. Okay, very nice. So says the Gemara Vayter, Ibayelahu, Baal Ma'u Sheyefer L'Shtei Nashav Bevas Achas. Can a husband revoke the nedarim of both his wives simultaneously? So what's the tzadim of the suffix? So the Ran points out that maybe Oso, is well, the Gemara really says that Oso Dafka Olav Dafka. So the pasuk says, the Ran helps us over here, B'yom Shamo Isha Yanio, so that the husband is able to either be making the nether or made for the nether. So that specifically, beyond Shema, is in the singular. It's specific only to her and not to multiple wives at once. Is this specific or not? So the idea of Osa, that her, that he should be able to literally restrain her, not be able to be able to remove the nether, is that only in context of Osa? Is it Dafka or Lav Dafka? Is it specific to being in the Lashon of singular? Or just the Torah is using singular? Because that's the, you can say, that deeper Torah of Lashon Bnei Adam, That's the people way generally speak, that it's usually a husband is with one wife, he's being made for only one, even if he's married to multiple wives, which obviously is mutter in the din of the Torah, but still, that the general derech would be only to be made for one at a time, so that's what the Torah mentioned. If you have a case where you have two women, so the halacha would be able to be made for such a neder. So says the Gemara, Amar Ravina, Tashma, Ravina says, I'll bring you a raya. What's the raya? The raya is from the case of Sota. The lacha by a sota is ein mashkin shtei sotos ka'achas minei shelibo gaspa v'cheverta. So the sota is generally, the sota is a case of a married woman who her husband suspects her of being adulterous. She was he warned her in front of people, and then she ends up being soser himself. She goes into yichud with somebody. So the halacha is that you bring her to the Beis Hamikdash, and you have the curses written in the Torah, and she drinks the waters, and it would erase the waters of the name of Hashem, and the waters would miraculously test her if she was guilty, then she would die on the spot. If not. Or that's also zechus toilin. Okay, that's a whole shayla. If she had some zechus, maybe she would die like a month later, but she would die. She would die immediately, at some point in the very near future from her sin, from her fact that she had been adulterous. And that's the halacha with regards to a sota. So can you do them simultaneously? So the braisa tells us that you're not allowed to do them simultaneously with two wives simultaneously, or even just two sotas generally simultaneously, not even two wives, just two different people, because her heart is encouraged by her friend. When she sees that her friend was not guilty, she was okay. Oh, she's going to convince herself, she definitely did something wrong, and she's not guilty, the waters aren't testing her, it's not going to test me either, I'm going to be okay. And therefore, she thinks she's going to be okay. So we don't want her to have we don't want her to do that. We want her to be moda. We want her to admit to it and not drink the sota waters, because we don't want her to erase the name of Hashem in vain if we really know that she was guilty. Rabbi Yehuda says, lo mein Hashem uzeh. That's not the reason that we don't give her the waters to two sotas simultaneously. Rather, because the pasuk says, mishum shenemar vihishka. It says, because the pasuk says, you should give it to her. In the lashon of the singular, vihishka es amayim, the word vihishka is specifically to vihishka osa, is like her, to give her to drink. Osa levada, which we imply is specifically to her. The Gemara and Sota and Dafches over there, they explain that both the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda agree that osa is telling us that we're excluding, is prat to tell us two sotas are not able to drink simultaneously. However, the Tanakam is just understanding that the reason for this is that the libo gaspa is the ikar reason, that we don't want her to be encouraged by the person who is not guilty and assume that herself was going to be who is guilty to drink the water. So in a case where the reason is not shayach, we would be able to give two sotas to be able to drink simultaneously. That's really the nafkamina. Rabbi Yehuda understands that no, but it's bedavka, that since the Torah says osa, no matter what, it doesn't matter if the halacha applies or not, it's a gzeiras hakasu, the Torah is telling you, never can you give it to two sotas simultaneously. So similarly, when it comes to our halacha with regards to the husband being able to make for the nadar, we would be able to say osa to teach us that a husband can never remove the nadarim of two wives simultaneously. At least, according to the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, that's what would come out over here. And the Rana handles at the end of the day, what's the halacha lemaisa? It's shayla. Is it osa? Is it dafka or not dafka? Maybe we would go like the Tanakama, because that's the Tanakama in over there says that it's lav dafka over there, because right, it's all based on the svar of libo gaspa. So that's all shayla. He quotes the Rana. He quotes the Ramban. That's a shayla halacha lemaisa the Rana deals with. Is it halacha lemaisa? Can you give two wives at once or not? Okay, very interesting, very fascinating, Gemara. Now moving on to Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. So says the next Mishnah, Bogeres Shasa Shneimasar Chodesh. A Bogeres who was waiting 12 months. Remember, Daf Ayin Amud Beis, we actually fixed it. It was Bogeres V'Shasa Shneimasar Chodesh. A Bogeres and someone who waits 12 months, because a Bogeres doesn't wait 12 months necessarily. So V'Almana is Shloshim Yom, and Almana is going to be 30 days. As we mentioned, right, there's three different, a Naira gets 12 months, that's Pashat, and a Almana gets 30 days. The Bogeres, the Maskana of the Gemara and Dafayin, was that we subtract the amount of time past her age of Naira. So let's say she was 13, so meaning if she's 13 on the day, so she would have 6 months to get ready for the marriage. What was this idea of getting married? That both the husband and the wife have time to prepare. The husband has to prepare to be able to support his wife, and he has to prepare the wedding suda, and the wife has to prepare her tachshitim and her dress, and you know, all the things that it would take. It's an engagement period nowadays, bizman hazeh, and not much has changed. It takes a long time to get ready for a wedding. I'm just get married a week later. So all those things need to be prepared. So different people at different stages. So Rabbi Lezer says, so what happens if the time came and they're not married yet? Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ha'ol, Vayla Chai Merzeh. So if after the period of waiting has expired, in either examples we gave, a Naira after the 12 months and a month after 30 days, of a Geras, let's say she was 12 already and now she was already 12 and a half, and now she's going to get an extra 6 months till she's 13. Oh, but I guess it is 12 and a half. Sorry, so she's 13. She'll have till 13 and a half, an extra 6 months, after whatever it is, after the time that was set for the wedding day, where the husband's now chayav to support his wife, and they're supposed to be nesua. Rabbi Lezer says that since at the end of the day, he has an obligation to support her, so then he's able to be made for those nadarim. That's even without the father. So that's going to be even without the father. And it's as if, the Ran says, it's as if we say that she was a nesua. So that's the chiddush. So the Gemara is going to discuss what's his far. That's the Rebbe Lezer Shita. V'chachamim omrim, ein abal mefer ad shetikanes l'rshuso. That until that she actually formally enters his jurisdiction, i.e. by doing nesuin, so then the halacha is going to be that until that point comes, you are going to assume that she is not able to be made for such nedarim. So the Gemara says, Amr Rabba. Rabba tells us now chiddush. Rabbi Eliezer, Mishnah Rishonu, Amru Davar Echad. Rabbi Eliezer and the original Mishnah Rishonu, the original teaching that we had, which we're going to discuss, the Mishnah in Ksubas, they said the same thing. So Rishonu always like to quote, actually saw this quote in Sanhedrin, the Shem, the Gaonim, the Margulis Hayam over there, that there's a Masorah, whenever the Gemara says Amru Davar Echad, we don't paskin like it. Because what are they doing? The way Rishonu explained it was that when you say Amru Davar Echad, it's saying, oh, who said that in a strange shita? Let's go gather together. Oh, he said that, Rabbi Kiva said this, Rabbi Shimon said this, and like a few others. So they're going to have a lashon of Ein Halacha Keshita. Whenever the Halacha is like Ein Amru Davar Echad or Kulam B'Shitas, whatever, that idea is almost always rejected. Because we're trying to find like who holds that Das Yachid that we don't really paskin like. So here also, it's going to be something which is going to be rejected. Disnan, as we see in the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us in Ksubis, we give a Nara who's a Vesula 12 months from when her husband wants to get married, the Parnes Atzman, in order to provide for herself for her wedding. Now what happens? The 12 months already had expired and the husband is not done in the suin yet. So the lacha is, Ochos Mishalo, he now has to start supporting her. The She'era Ksusa V'ona. So those things, at least the she'er idea of it, the idea of supporting her with mizonos, that's a shayla exactly what are she'er k'suzonos, machlokas also in Ksubas over there. But let's assume she'er is to give her food, so then that kicks in already from the moment that he's supposed to be doing nesuin. V'ocheles b'truma, and the lach is, if the husband is a koyin, she's allowed to eat truma. So now, mida oreisa, the pasuk says, kinyan kaspa. So we assume that there is a formal kinyan between a husband and a wife. That's all shaila. What type of kinyan? Kinyan iser, kinyan. Okay, that's all shaila. The shavei pruta. It's obviously not the shavei of the woman. That's a machlokas and echad. But either way, when formally the man is giving a shavei the pruta, he is being kona his wife in a form that he is now linked to her. So that linkage midaraisa the Gemara assumed was enough that even though they're not consummate the marriage yet, but she should be able to eat truma. That if he is a Kohen, the halacha is that a woman who marries a Kohen, a Yisraelis who marries a Kohen, the halacha is she's upgraded, she's not allowed to eat truma from the Kohen. So Mida Areisa, that already kicks in immediately from Irsin, even if they're not together. Now Chazal saw an issue with over there. The Chazal saw, that's a shayla actually, what is the issue? We're discussing that's a machlokes. In the Gemara, what exactly the issue is, there's one of two concerns. Either it's a machlokas. One opinion is that the concern is that we're afraid that who is she generally with? She's with her. She's not in the rishus with the husband yet because they didn't consummate the marriage. She's by her parents' house. So he's going to be feeding her all this time. He's going to be feeding her all this time the truma, and she's going to accidentally give them some of the apples and some of the dates and whatever that she's getting as the truma the husband gave her, and she's going to feed them to her Yisraelim family. So we're afraid that, therefore, right, Shamayashke, la vila chusa, that she's going to her father, her brothers, her family members, and therefore we're afraid of that, and we say that, that we should not, until you do nesuin, the lache is midarabanan, we made a gzira that you should not be able to give her truma. That's the first mandam. Right, the second mandam is of the opinion that no, that what are we afraid of? That the husband is going to find a blemish. He didn't see her whole body because she's covered. She's tanua. So the moment that he's right there, the first night, he's going to find a major blemish. And the idea of a blemish is a mekachtos. He said, I never would have married her had I known she had this crazy blemish. So what comes out is lamafrei retroactively, she was never married to him. And what came out, she violated the isser of a zar eating truma, which is aga misa b'deshamayim. It's a very chamar punishment. So we're afraid of that. So we say that until they're together, we assume that the mumin might come in, that might be a problem, and there would be a remekach taos, it would be a false transaction, and therefore they were never really married retroactively, and so that's what the second gzeira would be assuming. That's the reason that we don't allow her to eat the truma. So the Mishnah teaches us, according to that Mishnah, Daf Nun Zayin and Ksubis, the Mishnah teaches us that once the Giyaz Man comes along, so then the husband is supported to, is chiyuv to support his wife, so then she's treated in a suah, the gzeira d'rabbanan no longer kicks in. The gzeira d'rabbanan no longer kicks in. So now according to the first reason, so the Gemara over there explained that we have to assume that he was setting aside a special place for her to eat, and therefore we're not afraid that she's going to share it with her family members in the house. That's the first explanation. The second explanation option is that we're no longer any concern of the mumin either. What do you mean? They're not going to be together. Not allowed to be intimate yet till he formally does nisuin. So that's not allowed. That's not happening yet. So there, we're assuming the Gemara gives a svara that he's not going to be spending money on her and still be and still demand to be able to be to uproot the marriage. He's not going to do such a thing. So therefore, since he wouldn't do that, he wouldn't demand such a thing. Meaning, once he's spending the money, he's already agreeing to whatever movement that she has. He's agreeing to be married to her, and therefore we're not afraid retroactively of any issues. So the Gemara says that according to the Mishnah, we see that the idea is that once the time comes, normally there's a din d'rabbana, and then it's usher for her to eat truma once the time kicks in. So we assume that she's now allowed to eat truma. So that's very much like the halacha of an aris, that normally the aris needs the father to be able to be made for a neder. Once the time of nisuin kicks in, we treat them as if they are nisuin, and we're going to say that they are, that she's no longer going to be, you don't need the father anymore. Rather, the husband himself can be uprooting the neder. So that's a velchaz b'shlo, velchaz b'shuma. That's the Mishnah Rishona. We end up coming to say that until you do nisuin, the halacha is going to be, we reject that halacha. We say that until you do nisuin, you're not allowed to be made for the neder. So the Gemara says that aval yavam, when it comes to the yavam, eno maichel b'truma, that he does not give the yavama the right to eat truma. If the man dies without any children, so she was married to a kohen, she's a Yisraelis married to a kohen, and so the husband is also, her brother is also a full-fledged kohen. But that idea of the connection between the Yavama and her potential Yavam, since they didn't do Yibum yet, is not enough to be able, not grounds to be able to give him, to be able to give her the right to eat Shuma. And the Mishnah continues, even Asa Shishah Chadashim Bnei Abal V'Shishah Chadashim Bnei Yavan, if she was 6 months preparing for the wedding before her husband, and then he died suddenly, and now 6 months come before the Yavam, and so now the 12th month has passed, so it's after this man, Afilu Kulam Bnei Abal Chaser Mechad, even if she had a year minus 1 day, 1 day before the 12 months is finished, the halacha is al kulam pnei yavam chaser mechad, or opposite, the husband died right away, and then 12 months, and then a day up to the 12 months is coming that the yavam is not marrying her yet. Eino echelas bitruma. The halacha is she does not eat truma. So the Mishnah seems to imply that if she would spend all the 12 months before the husband, then maybe she would be able to eat truma. That's the diuk actually that Rabbeinu Tam makes. The Iran quotes it over here. Rabbeinu Tam holds that way. Rashi disagrees. Rashi assumes that we never let the Yavama is going out, and that the Yavama is never able to eat, even when her first husband was with the truma 12 months, we would not hold like that either. So now the Gemara points out that Zo Mishnah Rishona. This is the original teaching. That was the first halacha. That once the Giyazman comes, even though they're not married yet, then you can still, the halacha is you're able to still be able to eat truma. However, based in Shachreya Mamrua, later based in came along and said, no, ain aisha chelas b'truma achi tikanes l'chupa. We may assume that she's not allowed to eat truma until she goes under the chupa, meaning that she does nisuin. So they were disagreeing that you have to actually formally do nisuin, as Rachel mentioned this earlier point, that they say that the higiyazman is not enough. There's still a concern either that she might feed her family members, or that she actually is going to not, the husband's not going to want to be married to her, even if he was supporting her, if he finds a major moon, he's not going to be with her anymore. So we're afraid that she, what comes out is that a czar would be end up eating a truma, and therefore we assume that the halacha would be that in such a case, we would not allow the marriage to go through. It's interesting to point out that Gemara says, until she enters chuppah, it's actually, which is nisuin. It's not clear exactly. The Gemara was fascinating thing. Go through all Maseches Ksubis. You never find a clear, like, Kiddushin, we know it is. It's the very first Mishnah of Kiddushin. Aisha, Niknes, Bishtar, Bekesav, Bia, and maybe another example of Khalifa, whatever, that the Gemara will mention later. But it's very clear how a woman does Kiddushin. In all of Maseches Ksubis, it's not clear at all how a woman does nisuin, how you formalize that. So over here, the Gemara seems to think, okay, one of them, chuppah. What is a chuppah? So that seems to be the idea that what we call a chuppah is going under that rishus, that idea of the canopy under that such a thing is signifying that the husband is going into the woman is going into the rishus to consummate the marriage in nisuin. However, there's like three other shitas. The famous shita of the Rambam, it has to be yichud hara'i labia. It has to be a yichud which can lead to which can lead to be able to consummate the marriage through having relations. That's the big shayla. The Rambam holds that if a woman is a nida, that you're not able to get married. That's what we try like a chila, but you know, sometimes there's onus. You know, something's happened and it ends up being a chuppas nida. According to Rambam, that's not nisuin. You have not done nisuin. So we try to avoid it. That's a case. Whatever, people do different things to try to avoid that, but that is the shita of the Rambam. Then there's other shitas that say, not just Yichud HaRabia, but the idea of Poris, the Gospaimonis quotes this, is putting the veil over the head of the woman, signifying that she's going into your Rishus as well. That's another shita. So that's We try to do all of them. So we do that as well. That's the whole shaila, that we actually do that before the erison. That's a big question. Why should we do that? And Nisuin comes after the erison. Why do we do that before? Okay, that really works with the Eved for sure, but that's an interesting question, why we do that before. But that's how we do, that's a form of Nisuin as well, and we're machmir for that shita as well. It's the Magen Avraham quotes, actually, that Rosh Hashanah like to quote this, that you should be machmir. People aren't so careful with this, that after the chuppah, you've done one of the methods of chuppah, but really, one of the ikar methods is the Rambam, it's yichud arai labiyah. So people are always stagging around and schmoozing and doing whatever they're doing. So then, so the Rav Shekhar points out that's not correct, because you should go, you just made the bracha of the Sheva brachos, which are indicating the Nisuin. So that bracha should be chal when you're making the bracha on Yichud Arabiya. You should go pretty quickly to right into the Yichud room. You shouldn't dally around, and you should go pretty quickly. And then he quotes this, he said this in Shir a few times, and he said, at one time he said this in Shir, and one of his Talmidim took this too seriously. He like took his wife right after, he didn't say hi to anyone, he said bye to anyone, and ran straight to the yichud room. So he was laughing at that. He didn't mean to take it that seriously, but you shouldn't dilly-dally along under the chuppah. That's his point. After that, after you complete the nisuin, you should go right to the yichud room. Okay, fine. Those are the shitas of yichud. But what comes over here is both Rabbi Elezer, who says that a woman's allowed to revoke the nedarim once the higiyah's man comes in, and the idea of the Mishnah Rishona that you can have truma when the time comes in, both assume that the nisuah is a, even though the higiyah's man, it creates a chalos, it creates that it's an aspect that even though you didn't formally consummate the marriage, it's like you consummated the marriage. So then the Gemara says, Vaiter, Amar le Abaye. Abaye says, maybe that's not the case, you Rabbah, that Dilma Lohi, maybe the Rabbi Lezer and the Mishnah Rishona are not the same Shita. Ad Kadlo Kashmi and a Mishnah Rishona, Ela Lemecha, but Truma Derabanan. That the idea of Middah Arayso, the woman is fully allowed to eat this Truma, as we mentioned. It's only a Gzer Derabanan, either because of the Simfon or the Gzer Derabanan of because maybe she's going to be Yashkia La Chosa of Avia, she's going to her brothers and her sisters. That's all Gzer Derabanan. So for the Gzer Derabanan, once he needs to support her, we allow him to start giving Truma. Aval Nadarim Derayso Imalo, but maybe that the Mishnah Rishonah would disagree with Rabbi Elazar. They would say that when it comes to Nadarim, which are a Din Derayso, Meichit is that Higiyah's man is a chalos, that it's creating something that which allows the husband to be able to revoke the nedarim of his wife alone. Aval nedarim derasim alo. Ve'ad kan lo shemayt leil Rabbi Elazar el agav nedarim. And similarly, Rabbi Elazar might not agree with the Mishnah Acharon, Mishnah Rishona. Rabbi Elazar only said this halacha that are arusa because that is regards to nedarim. Kidra Pinchas Mishmei de Rava. Ezra Pinchas had taught us the name of Rava. De'amar kolan abderes al da'as baila hino deres. That it says whoever makes a neder, so that she's doing it, what's the idea of the husband allowed to be made for the neder? The Gemara asks this question. So the Gemara there says that the idea is that the woman making the neder knows that it's only with the approval of the husband. That's why the Torah gave you this idea. That's why the Torah tells you that you're allowed to do this. So here also, that once Higiyah's man kicks in, aval truma afilu midrabanan nami loachla. So that, it's a svar daraisa to assume maybe she could be able to uproot that the husband could uproot the neder, because she only has in mind, if the husband's okay with what I'm doing, then I'm going to make such a neder. If the husband's not okay, then I won't make such a neder. Aval truma afilu midrabanan nami loachla. But truma, that is a special takana. Now, nothing changes when the Higiyah's man kicks in. That there's no special svara to assume that Higiyah's man should change that status. So really, we assume that the Mishnah Rishona and the Shita of Rabbi Elazar could, in fact, be different as Abaye had just proven us. Okay, Rav Hashem will pick up Shomer Siyav and Mirtz Hashem and tomorrow's daf.